Merci frère Hosh.
It is good to be back in this church this evening.
Et du bon moment de retourner dans l'église là ce soir.
It's a special place in my heart.
C'est une place spéciale dans le cœur.
The Lord called me to Haiti when I was a young boy.
Et Seigneur a appelé mon âge ton petit garçon petit.
Went to a Bible school and for trying to follow the Lord's will for my life.
Et maintenant à l'école biblique, on essaie de chercher plein bon Dieu pour la vie.
I believe I shared that burden sometime when Brother Hurst was there at the Bible school.
Et moi te quoi moi partager ça déjà les Brother Hurst dans le club du clan.
For you to go to Haiti, give me a call.
Les il bon sauver porte la pour là aussi, bon moi appel.
So it was in 1998 of May.
Et moi te quoi c'était dans 1998 en mai.
16 years ago.
16 ans de cela.
Gave him a call.
Et m'a mis son coup de fil.
We had just been out of Bible school a year and the Lord opened the doors.
Et on était fait sauter dans l'école durant deux années, puis le Seigneur ouvre la porte là.
I said, I need a service to share our burden for Haiti.
Et il me dit, besoin de service pour partager un gourmand pour Haïti.
I was a young boy, no experience, scared to death.
Et j'étais un jeune garçon, sans expérience, et j'étais peur.
And Pastor Hurst was gracious and let us come and share.
Et Pastor Hurst a eu grâce pour nous, il a quitté nous venir.
This church has been a blessing to us many times since.
Et l'église a été une bénédiction pour nous depuis tant.
Thank you for that.
Merci pour ça.
And thank you, Richard.
Et merci, Richard.
I want you to see what it would like if we was in Haiti tonight.
Et me voulais voir si nous étions en Haïti quand le tapis est
still have to use a translator sometimes.
Nous toujours utilisons un interprète quelquefois.
And Richard is a good one.
Et Richard est bon en tout.
But I'm going to take that away from him because if we keep that up, we'll be here all night. Because you can only preach 30 minutes, you know, and that's 60 minutes, so I got to hurry now. But no, Richard's a blessing. We have been without him this past year. Nancy is with us here also this evening. They've graduated last year. And they came to Bible school this year, just finished their first year of Bible school, and we picked them up yesterday at Free Gospel Bible Institute, headed back towards Oklahoma so we can leave on an airplane 2 weeks from tomorrow so they can go back to Haiti and get some more rice and beans. They have not had any Haitian food for 10 months now, 9 months, and they are hungry for some good Haitian food. McDonald's don't cut it no more. So they're ready to head back, and we're ready to get them back down there and put them to work. As you can see, Richard's a great translator. He's been a blessing to me in Haiti, helping me. I've missed him this past year, but God is leading their life. We said 16. I remember when I was just a young boy, you know, maybe 10, 9, 10, 11. I don't remember exactly. Boy, I was looking forward to being 16 years old. Grew up in the state of Missouri at 16. You get your driver's license, start driving. Boy, I was like, that'll be the day. And, you know, as a young boy, I thought that would never arrive. But man, it finally got there at 16. I remember when I turned 16 that day. I said, Mom, let's go get my driver's license. And you know what? I'm old enough to date. She disagreed with both of those. And it was several years later before I started dating, and at least at Bible school. But, you know, I just, 16, that was a special number. And I thought, man, that'd take a long time to get there. And it did when I was a young boy. But now the last 16 years have went like this. Richard and then we got Nancy. Nancy and her brother was number two and number three that came into our home over 13 years ago. And Richard and his sister was number four and number five that came into our home over 13 years ago. And since that time, we've grown to over 60 children there in the home. And looking forward to that someday, because that, you know, that they will be grown up, because they're cute little guys. Nancy was six, Richard was seven, and this year they turned 19 and 20. Hard to believe. Where did that time go? But it goes very quickly. I look back, and God's been faithful through it all, and we're looking forward to what God has in store for them and their life. And just pray for us as we get back down there in the next couple weeks and put them to work and let them put some of the things they've learned this past year into doing something for the Lord down there. This time, I'd like Davey, Hannah, and Sam to come up. I'll introduce them. As I said, you know, we've been coming. We came first time we didn't have any kids. And now Davey, he's getting ready to be 14. It's hard to believe in July. He's growing up, and Hannah is 12. Daddy's a little sweetheart, never going to get married. Amen. So it's still a deal, right? Yes. Pray, church, pray. Sam, he just turned 7 in January. He's a big help and a lot of fun. I got all kinds of stories, but we can't tell you all them tonight. Davey, he's a big help with suitcases. But they got a song they're going to sing for you and in Creole, because they all speak Creole fluently, and big help to Dad.
Pi fon nan ou, pi laj nan ou, pi wo nan ou, Seigneur Jezi. Mwen vle santi ke ou, wè ki e souye, mwen vle ale pi fon nan ou, pi fon nan ou. bleu senti que ouais qui est souillé moi bleu aller plus fond non.
I didn't hear anybody. Everybody agree with that? Amen. Yeah. Well, it is. It's okay to agree with it. It's just more. I saw Sister Ruth getting excited. They taught them that song when they came. Brother Joseph Martin, I guess, had come up with that and taught them that when they were there in February. And it's just it's a wonderful song, going deeper in the Lord, know the Lord's heart more of the Lord, higher in the Lord. Everybody can agree with that, right? We need more of the Lord tonight. So we enjoyed having Sister Ruth down there in Haiti and the rest of some of the Martin family and the rest of the group that week, and we enjoyed that song many times since then. This time I'd like Nancy to come and sing for you. Nancy's has been a big help in the home. She loves to work with the children. She was part of our worship and leadership down there in the church. We have missed her this past year. Glad to be back with Nancy now, and she's going to sing for you in Creole also.
Jésus mourit sous calvaire, le Christ mourit, c'était pour moi. Moi m'en déye, ce que m'a connu, combien moi doué, combien moi doué. Qui sa pumba pour me remercier si c'est la vie qui pas fin propre si c'est l'esprit qui bouleversé mais moi vini fais ça ouvler. Sauvez-moi, non, j'étais mani. T'es passé pis, grand agonie. C'est pour moi souffrance à t'aider. Comment pour me dire combien moi doué? Qui sa pumba pour me remercier si c'est la vie qui pas fin propre si c'est l'esprit qui bouleversé mais moi vini fais ça ouvler. Qui sa pumba pour me remercier si c'est la vie qui pas fin propre si c'est l'esprit qui bouleversé mais moi vini fais ça ouvler.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate that. We have a little video presentation that was put together for us about a year and a half ago. It's going to show you what you guys have been a part of for the past many years, almost 16 years. We was in Haiti 16 years, began missions in Haiti 14 years ago. And so this is what's happened in the last 14 years. You'll be able to see on this video presentation. And also, I want to say thank you. From time to time, we had the containers that have went out of Richmond, Indiana, and I know the church here has been a part of those several times, so you'll be able to see some of the kids. You've saw some of them now here, Nancy and Richard, and of course us, the food items that were gathered up, and we was able to eat them in Haiti, and you'll see the rest of them there, because kids like to eat, amen. Adults like to eat too, amen. So we're going to do the video presentation now so you can see what you've been a part of.
Haiti can be a very interesting place. It's definitely To me, Haiti has some very beautiful people too, because they take time to talk to you and they want to know about your family and how everybody is. And on the other hand, Haiti has some of the worst corruption, and I feel a government that just doesn't want to see the people advance and live a good life.
One of the sad things Elise and I deal with while in Haiti is the sense of hopelessness among the Haitian people. Almost daily, our gate is being knocked on with people asking us to take their children, help them with their kids' education, or just some food to survive for the day. The World Bank has put out that Haiti's being the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, with many Haitians trying to survive on less than a dollar a day. Haiti's a very religious country, so you will find everybody here believes in God, believes in Jesus, believes in the Bible. They also believe in the devil. And they go to church on Sunday morning and then do the voodoo during the week. And God is a lot more open in the country. You go down the road, you see God is love on the tap-taps. You see Jesus saves on the public transportation. And the voodoo is more, we don't really want to talk about it, but everybody knows it's going on, and there's a lot of confusion. When the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart and says, we know you need to accept Jesus, and they accept it, to get the voodoo that's been just pounded into their mind from the time they were born, they can't get away from it. I'm saying all that because then we focus on the children, because if we can get them in a Christian environment, and yes, they may be still getting some of the input from the Haitian society and the Haitian ways at their home, but yet we're showing them the opposite. Missions in Haiti was founded with the goal of raising productive citizens to make a difference in Haiti. We pray that they will be able to make a difference morally, spiritually, and economically in their country someday. House of Compassion started with Micah in January 2001. Micah was the first little boy to come into our care. Micah came when he was 2 years old. Now he has grown into a young boy at the age of 14. Since then, we have grown to 38 children here at House of Compassion, each child having a unique story of why they're here. In 2005, the Lord provided us with a piece of property to build the permanent location for House of Compassion. We were able to move into this house in August of 2007. On the right side of the home is the boys' home, the 3 bedrooms, a large dormitory-style bathroom. The middle is the kitchen area where the children gather together to eat and play and do homework. The left side is the girls' side, same setup as the boys, 3 bedrooms and a large bathroom. House of Compassion has 20 boys and 18 girls. We also have Good Hope Boys Home, which has grown to 22 boys. It began in the fall of 2008 and is across the street from House of Compassion. So between the two homes, we have a total of 60 Haitian children that we are responsible for daily.
We're able to educate all of our children locally at our Haitian Christian schools. These are the schools that we built across the street from our house. While most of our children attend our Haitian school, 9 of our children are attending our ACE school in English. Our Haitian Christian school has approximately 300 children from our community, and we are trying to help these children physically through our school lunch program, mentally with a quality education, and spiritually through a Christian curriculum. Since the standard curriculum used here in Haiti was embedded with voodoo, Judah and myself have reworked what was available, adding hands-on activity and incorporating the Bible where we can.
I
What I've learned with the 60 children that we're directly responsible for, their feeding and clothing and, you know, three meals a day and education, health, is each one of them has different capabilities. And that's really what Lisa and I have spent a lot of time on now as the children getting older. What are their talents? What are the abilities that God has given them? And how can we help steer them in the right direction for God to develop those and use those for His will? I've got the hope that in a few years that I'm going to be able to see the fruit of our labor, because now we've got 60 that we've raised plus hundreds that we've educated that is doing something in Haiti to make a difference in that country.
Our newest school is in the mountain village of Triano. It's about 45 minutes away from our house. We have about 100 students. We're welcome to this area with a lot of enthusiasm because previously these kids did not have a chance at a good quality education.
All of the children in our Christian school attend a weekly chapel program. During this time, there is singing, special songs, and then of course the lesson from the Word of God.
For many of our students, this is the first time that they have been in a church setting.
Missions in Haiti have been very blessed to have the only air-conditioned church in Haiti. This wonderful building was provided for us in January 2009. As October 2008, we did not have a building, did not have land for the building, and did not have finances to put it all together. The Lord miraculously moved upon several different supporters who provided the land, the foundation for the building, and the church. During our first service, I sat there in amazement as how God had put this whole thing together in just a short 3 months. Since that time, Good Hope Church have seen over 150 people come forward and pray for salvation. Good Hope Church gets lots of use during the week. Besides having our Sunday services, we also have special youth and children's ministry during the week, along with a daily prayer service every morning at 7 a.m. In Haiti, there's a proverb that says there's always another mountain, meaning once you get to the top of the mountain, you're going to have another one you're going to have to cross. We have seen that also within our own ministry. There's been the kidnapping, there's been voodoo curses, overthrows of governments, the earthquake. It seems like once you get to the top of the other mountain and you start down, it's just a short time later you have another one you have to climb. Sometimes that gets a little discouraging. You know, even though we've had to fight and claw our way up the mountain to get House of Compassion built or to get the Good Hope Boys Home established and to get the schools going, God was faithful through it all. As our ministry grows, so does our need for prayer. I'd like to leave you with a few prayer requests that I would appreciate you praying for us daily. As you can imagine, with feeding 60 children, three meals a day, 365 days a year, it is no easy task. With the rising cost of food, we are now spending $1,000 a week just to feed the children. Just for an example, to feed 60 children, you need 3 bags of rice, 1 bag of beans, a case of oil, 2 cases of cornflakes, and 200 eggs a week. With the property the Lord has blessed us, we try to raise some of our own foods. We have our tilapia farm that we started over 4 years ago for the children to eat. We also have our chickens that we've raised. We get eggs and time to time some meat from them, along with planting fruits and vegetables. A current need that we have right now would be to get our Haitian Christian school out of the rented building and into a permanent location. In order to accomplish this, Missions in Haiti needs another piece of land and 2 more steel buildings, one for elementary and one for high school. Please help us pray that the finances will be available for these expansions in the near future. Thank you for your continued prayers and support for the work in Haiti. As long as you continue to pray for us and support us, we will be here.
Hi, my name is Jude. I'm thankful to be a part in this mission. I see how God moves through this mission. First, to the kids in House of Compassion, to the kids at school, to the people at church. I also thank all the churches that contribute in that mission. I pray that God gonna be bless you guys. Thanks for all your help.
Hopefully that lets you see a little bit more, better, of what you are helping pray for and support there in Haiti. Just a couple quick updates that's taken place since the video was produced. We mentioned 60 kids, so you think, well, you know, I got excited about last year when they Richard and Nancy graduated and we got them to the States, dropped them off in Bible school, and I said, yes, we're getting closer to the empty nest, only 58 more left. So we got rid of two. But as things happen, they have been replaced. You can't replace them, but the number-wise, they have been replaced, so we still have 60 kids down there. Took in two more this past year, plus my 363 down there. So it stays exciting all the time. And then the video mentioned the need for a piece of property and two more steel buildings. Property has been provided for. We just have to sign a few more papers, and that'll be all taken care of. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Peace right between our place and the church, right in the middle, perfect for our school. I couldn't ask for a better location. And then I mentioned the need for two more steel buildings, one for elementary and one for high school, a building just like the preschool center you saw there in the video. This past December, while we were in at Christmas, we were shipping out a supply container out of Tulsa. The man who has helped us with our church building and preschool building, Frank, I called him. I said, Frank, I'm going to have some room on this container. This coming year in 2014, I said, I want to, hopefully, Lord, we'll move and it'll all work together. We can build us our elementary school. I said, can we go ahead and get some of the supplies for that building on this container? We need some flooring maybe and some of the siding just to fill up, you know, the sheet metal to fill up the container. He said, let me get back with you. We need it. We're looking at a 22 by 66 two-story school building, six classrooms. He got back with me the next day and said, I talked to my wife last night. We're going to go ahead and donate the next building. So I went from having a problem not having enough to fill a container to having too much. But that was a good problem. I got a $32,000 building donated by making a phone call. Or it wasn't, you know, by the Lord touching and moving upon his heart and life. Stood there and amazed. God, you're continuing to do it. So we put all the red iron, the structure of the building on that container along with the supplies that had been gathered. Had to leave the sheet metal behind, so we still have that. So Lord willing, next week, following week when we get it back into Oklahoma, we'll be packing another container up to ship down. We've been traveling the last couple weeks to get the finances together for that. We got that. So we just need to get some more to get some more supplies in that container to get that container shipped down there with the rest of the building stuff to buy the flooring, some other things. So we praise the Lord. We'll have that whole building down there. And then we need to raise the finances to put the foundation for the building, about $8,000 to put the foundation for that 22 by 66 school building, and then be able to erect that on there and hopefully have it up in time for the next school. Put it up September, October sometime so it can be used next year. Isn't God good? I'm just amazed. And then get that one done, and then we can move on to the next one with the high school, and then we can be out of that rented building. So just appreciate y'all's prayers that God will continue to put all that together in his timing as he always does.
Praise the Lord. If you come, ushers, and you can see from Brother Lloyd sharing tonight that this isn't just a vision. They're doing it. They've done it. And this is a worthy ministry to us for making an investment in. And as I told you this morning, God says much about his people taking care of orphans. And let's just give significantly tonight. Amen. Brother Larry, would you mind to pray over this offering today?
good to be in church this evening. Another thing I appreciate about this church is you don't change up the, you might change up the service a little bit because the missionary's here, but you know, a lot of times we go to a church and they say, we're just going to turn it over to the brother. They say, send the light, and then it's back on me, and we need to have church. And not saying that, you know, but you know, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. We enjoy to hear the singing. We enjoy having to be able to praise the Lord, and my wife and children enjoy hearing something other besides me. Amen? It's just been wonderful this evening. I appreciate the presence of the Lord being here. God is good. The blood still works. Still working. I see here in Dayton, Ohio. I know it's still working there in Claremore, Oklahoma, where we're based out of. And then we've seen it still, we see it still working down in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, or out in the area we live. It's called Bon Repos. Give you a testimony of it shows the power that's in the blood, how it still works. A couple years ago, after we started the church, we had a young man come in, came forward and got saved in that Sunday morning service. I didn't know his history, didn't know anything about him. He was faithful, had been faithful ever since. Coming Sunday night, morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he's in church. He's one of the first ones, if you give an altar call for the baptism, he comes up to seek the baptism, just wanting a closer walk with the Lord. Well, after several weeks, or months, I should say, of him being in the church, he talked to my pastor, my Haitian pastor, who's over the church there, and he says, I've got a testimony. I've got to tell the church. So he said, all right. So during that service, and we didn't know anything about the man, he got up and he testified. He said, I want to share something with the church. He said, as a young teenager and young man growing up, he says, I had an addiction to gambling. You know, in Haiti, I don't understand it, but it's gambling's everywhere. You know, you got there on our road from the main road to where we live is about a mile and a half, and they have these little things called a bank. That's what they're called, bank, right over it. And it's just a little booth that they've set up, and you go in there and you place your money on the numbers. I'm not sure how it all works. They take the Dominican Republic numbers, New York numbers, something, and a couple different ones you can play. He said, I was addicted to that. Anytime I had a little bit of money, he said, I would go, and he said, I'd put it in that gambling bank there. And he said, I'd lose, you know, how it goes. And he said, my family was suffering. My kids didn't have the food they needed to have, and he said, I just couldn't quit it. He said, I tried to quit it on my own many times. And he says, I just couldn't do it. But he said, I tell you that Sunday morning when I gave my heart to Jesus, he said, I've never been back to one because Jesus delivered. That's the power that's in the blood of the Lamb tonight, church. That was just a testimony that really blessed my heart, and I thought I'd share it with you all tonight and pray for him as he continues to seek the baptism, seek a closer walk with the Lord. Appreciate the offering tonight. Goes towards getting that building put up and everything. We'll be back down in Haiti the next couple months. Richard and Nancy and possibly another young lady, Miriam, if she gets her visa, she's graduating this year, been in our home. She'll be coming out in August to start Bible school. They'll be going for their second year, have their three-year student visa. And then the following year, we have four graduating. We don't know how many will be coming out. They're starting to get to that age, Brother Hurst, you know, where we're going to have moving some out, getting close to that empty nest, you know. But if we know how things go, we'll probably fill it back up. But just excited to be able to do something for the Lord tonight. Appreciate this church. Appreciate your prayers. We normally travel with a table. Don't have that with us because we didn't have room with seven in that van plus our suitcases. But we do have some prayer cards. Please pick up. We'll put them out there where you can pick those up. Remember to pray for us. We also have some calendars. I know the year's almost half over, but it's got some good pictures. It's what we sent out for Christmas this past December. But it has a picture of the home there, a house of compassion, the boys' home, and some pictures on the inside. If you'd like those to have those pictures, please pick up some of them also. This evening, I'd like to do something a little different. I'd like to just share some stories of things I've observed down there in Haiti, some things that the children have done. And hopefully we can go from there. You know, one of the things about having that many kids is you never run out of sermon material. Amen. They always are doing something good that you can use as a sermon example or something bad that you can use as a sermon example. And I get up and I'll say something. One of the kids, you know, did this this week. You know, I don't mention names because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but they always know who I'm talking about. I don't know how it is, but we get them up with some stories. But here's a couple stories I want to share with you tonight about some of the kids there in our home that we've raised. And one of them was Fritzen. Fritzen came when he was 2 years old. He's from an area called Thomazo. We'd started a church and school out there. After we had got it going, we had some doctors, nurses that had come down and wanted to hold a clinic. We had an American doctor out there, and he'd seen several people that day. And towards the end of the day, my wife approached the doctor, and she said, out of all the cases you saw today, what was the neediest? He said, well, as a matter of fact, it's that little boy that just left. He goes, not too long ago. He said, if he doesn't get some serious help in the next 2 to 3 weeks, he will be dead. And he used the words wet starvation. I don't know if that's really a term, but that's how he described it. He said he's got maybe getting calories through hard candy or white rice, but he has no nourishment. He's not getting any nourishment in his body. It's shutting down. And sure enough, when you looked at him, he was swollen. His arms and legs was cracked open and stuff was oozing out of him. So we were kind of newer to this, you know, raising kids at that time. We've learned a lot in the last 16 years. Still have a lot to learn. But this was one of the cases that we thought, well, this would be so easy. You know, we got the food in our house. This lady's probably not, got the food at their house. So the kid's starving. And we could really help this situation, bring this little boy in, just feed him, and everything would be all right. So Lisa, she went down the road, found the mother. She said, why aren't you taking care of Fritzen? She said, your little boy. She said, well, there's nothing I can do. The devil eats all my kids. She said, I've had two others before Fritzen. The devil ate both of them. The devil's eating Fritzen now. Well, we thought, well, this won't be no problem. Would you like us to raise him? And she said, oh, you can have him, but the devil's going to eat him. So we brought him into our home, and we thought, well, this, you know, no problem. We put a nice plate of food down in front of me, rice and beans with some meat and some vegetables, and said, no, just have at it. Eat it all up. He just pushed it aside. He didn't want it. He didn't want nothing to do with that. Fixed him something, peanut butter, you know, something to try and get some nourishment, some protein and different things in his body, and he just wouldn't receive any of it. So go on and start reading up on what we need to do and try to think. And one of the suggestions was just scrape peanut butter on their teeth and let it slowly dissolve in their system. But we know I could not understand it. We're trying to save this little boy's life physically, and he kept pushing back everything we was trying to give him to save his life. And after about 2.5 and 3 weeks of just passing all kinds of misery with him and him crying and he finally, the appetite started back up and he started eating, and the devil never came by and ate Fritzen. It's been about 11, 12 years ago, and he's never been by to eat him again. But it was just for that few weeks that it was very difficult. But even up through the years now, we have to watch him. Because every now and then he'll take what's good and he'll pick it aside and not eat it. Maybe he'll, you know, throw his meat to the dog when he's coming by, or you know, give his egg to another little boy there in the home. But if you're not watching him, he'll still set aside what will keep him alive, what will nourish him, what will give him energy, and only eat what, you know, back to what he had when he was just 2 years old. I don't know why that is, but that's the way it is sometimes. So I thought about James chapter 4, verse 17. It says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I thought, well, you know, we never want to be like Fritzen spiritually, to know what we need to do and to do it. Know what to do. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Fritzen knows to this day, because we have grilled it into him, what he has to eat in order to stay alive physically. But, you know, he still reverts back to that. You know, I've seen people do that as Christians. They come in, they get saved, and then after a while they say, well, you know, I remember out in the world I could do what I want to do, didn't have to live for Jesus, and then they revert back to that sin. They've been preached to, they've read in their Bibles. I've probably been guilty of it a few times myself. I know what I needed to do, but because of that old sinful man, we allow it to rise up and go back in that same area that where we've been at time, then we fall right back into the devil's trap. And I say, church, I'm praying, ask the Lord, I never become like Fritzen and just, you know, set aside what is going to keep me alive, but always take in all that God has for me so I can have life and energy it's everything the Lord has for me spiritually this evening. You know, sometimes I think, as I said, you know, he's given him what he has to have in order to stay alive, but he just rejected it. How many times as a pastor I've been discouraged because I see somebody there in the church that needs Jesus Christ, and I'm giving him what he's going to have, or her, what he's going to, she's going to have in order to live spiritually, and they reject it. But we just got to keep giving it, and that's what we did. Unfortunately, we can't take the gospel and just scrape it on their teeth and make them eat it like we did with the peanut butter. But we got to just keep preaching them and loving them and just trust that the God will get in them, and the desire for him will grow, and then that spiritual appetite will start and they'll become a Christian. Another scripture to go along with that would be Romans chapter 7, verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You know, Fritzen knows what's good. He knows what's bad when it comes to eating. But every now and then, he reverts back to that evil. I pray, church, tonight that the Lord, my heart stays focused on the Lord, because I don't want to veer to the left or veer to the right, but stay on that straight and narrow, because keeping alive spiritual and spiritual life in my life is going to be worth it all. Second story I'd like to tell you tonight is a little boy named Eronel. Eronel's been quite a challenge there in the home. He's came when he was 3 years old, and I've become bald, because I'm starting to lose a lot of hair because of him over the years, you know. He's growing up. He's 15 years old now, but I can tell you a lot of stories about old Eronel, but we'll just tell you one tonight. It's kind of one of my favorite stories that I witnessed there in Haiti. All the children come home from school for lunch during the day. They're just down the road or across the street from our house, so they'll come in, spend 30 minutes there eating their lunch, and then they head back to school. Fritzen came in, was one of the first ones one time during his lunchtime, got his food, ate it quickly, was done before everybody else, went out to the yard. In our yard, when we built out there, there was no trees growing, so I went down to the guy selling the trees on the side of the road, and I said, I want some fruit trees. So, of course, they sell me mango trees, coconut trees, avocados, you know, all the different tropical trees you can grow out in the area where we're at. Take them home, plant them. But I said, now these I know are going to take a while before they grow up into big trees. I said, give me some that'll grow real fast and produce good shade trees. So they sold me some of those also. They sold me these three trees, and sure enough, they grow up really fast, and they have a great big umbrella-type shade covering, beautiful tree. But on these trees, they grow little black balls. And, I noticed, nobody was bothering them. The people that worked there at the home, they would leave them alone. It was not sold to me as a fruit tree, so I knew there was nothing, they were no good. But Fritzen went out one day, and after he got done eating, he picked that ball off, cracked it open, had little black seeds in it. Puts one of them in his mouth, nibbles on it a little bit, and he says, man, this tastes pretty good. Tastes kind of like coconut. Well, next thing he knows, he's digging the seeds out. He's eating those seeds. Man, these seeds are very delicious. He went home, went to school, came home that evening. During the night, he was up all night with extreme vomiting and diarrhea. It was not a pleasant night for Eronel. Well, I guess he didn't realize maybe what he had ate the day before. So he comes home the next day during the lunch hours, got done eating before everybody else, ran out there, started picking more of them all balls off that tree, pulling those little black seeds out of there. Man, these things are good. Tastes like coconut. For a long few, the other kids got finished with their lunch, came over. Eronel, what you doing? They said, man, I'm eating these seeds that are like coconut. So he gave them out, and there was about five or six up all night with extreme vomiting and diarrhea. Not a pleasant night there in the home. But we didn't know what was going on. We knew, saw everybody was sick, but that happens sometimes. You got people living that close together, a virus will spread. But Eronel had it again that night, so we're like, well, this is kind of different. I guess he takes him a little bit to get through to his head, because the next day he comes home from school to eat lunch, gets done before everybody else, runs out, starts pulling them things off the tree again. Everybody's getting back around him because, man, these things are good. Tastes like coconut. One of the ladies that worked there come by and they go, what are you doing? He goes, man, I'm eating these things. He said, these things are good. She said, don't eat those. They will kill you. She said, kid, there's been kids out in the country. Many of them has died. They were hungry. Then I guess they do taste good. She said, they'll eat them because they taste good, and then they die as a result of that. I think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God, Moses, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses did choose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We have to make up our mind that even though it might taste like coconut, even though that pleasure might give us a little, that sin might give us a little pleasure for that moment, we got to stay away from that. Eronel, man, he ran home. He would run to that tree because that thing gave him a little, he enjoyed eating something that tastes like coconut. He ran back to it. How many times have we seen people with, living a life of sin? It's just for that moment. Yeah, it does maybe give a little bit of satisfaction, but just as Eronel was during that night, up all night, suffering the consequences of that, eating those seeds, people that are living in sin are suffering the consequences of it. It's a rough way to go. And just as Eronel did with sharing, wanted to share with others. Man, this tastes pretty good. How many has ever been around somebody that's living in sin? They all come join us. Because they're having fun right now. But we got to be like, I don't want to be like Eronel in this. Run right back to it. Even though I'm suffering for it that night, I want to stay away from sin. Because I want to see Jesus Christ in eternity. Amen. Third little boy I want to talk about is Stanley. I say little boy, he's growing up too. He came when he was 6 weeks old. His mother abandoned him at an orphanage. She was a young girl, couldn't take care of him. Dumped him off at the gate, took off running. They caught her, and she said, I can't take him. So they contacted us, and we have raised Stanley ever since. Don't know what happened to his mother. She's gone. But he's now 13. And Stanley has been a trip. I talked about Eronel causing some of my hair loss. Stanley has caused all my gray hair. Some people say I look a lot older than I am, because I think Stanley can contribute to a lot of that. We've had, as I said, Stanley since he was 6 weeks old. Now, I'm just going to try to explain to you something, and I hope I don't offend nobody tonight, but we still discipline in Haiti the old-fashioned way. You know, the way I was brought up, my mom disciplined me with the Board of Correction many times as a kid growing up. Probably I needed more than what I got, but, you know, it taught me a lot of things. Taught me to behave. Taught me how to pray, because I'd be in a store somewhere. I mean, my cousin act up, turn over a clothes rack. My mom look at me and say, "You're going to get it when you get home." And, boy, I went to praying. Anybody's ever been there? Lord, let her forget. You know, Lord, don't let her remember when I get home. And I prayed all the way home in the backseat of that car. My, oh, Lord, please don't let my mom remember that. And, you know, he answered my prayer sometimes. She forgot. I'm thankful for that. Proved there was power in prayer. And he's had his disciplines. And we've tried everything to make this little boy be good in school. Tried everything to make this little boy behave in the home. And just give you some stories of what he's done. One of the things, we have our storage food area there in our house, and in there we have some the things that the kids need to eat, and one of them is these little cheese puffs. Well, that's a Sunday afternoon meal, because everybody goes to church, so they don't have time to make a big meal. So when they get home, it's hot dogs, cheese puffs, and cookies. It's one of the favorite days during the week for the kids. And so the cheese puffs are in there for Sunday. And during the night, Stanley would sometimes get up and sneak in there and get him these little bags of cheese puffs. And he would eat them when he was supposed to be in his bed. So he was really just stealing them. And I should tell you, the cheese puffs in Haiti are not like cheese puffs here. I remember when Davey was about 5 or 6, somewhere around there, a little boy. He got him some cheese puffs here in the States, bit into one of them, and said, "Dad, there's something wrong with these cheese puffs." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "They're crispy and hard." He was used to the soft and chewy ones in Haiti. You have to chew your cheese puffs down there because of the humidity, and they're just not that fresh, stale, I guess. So Stanley gets up at night, and he's eating his cheese puffs, and you get down there in the morning, you find these empty packages of cheese puffs in the trash can. But one thing I will say about little Stanley is he never has lied to us that we know of. He will always tell the truth. So when you start investigating who's been sneaking up at night and eating the cheese puffs, he would admit, it's me. "Stanley, you know you're not allowed to do that." "Yeah, I know, but I had to have some cheese puffs." So he would get disciplined for it. You know, we tried to do different things. We'd break him of getting up and eating that. So we started telling him, "Stanley, this is what we're going to do." Now, you guys, I know I'm going to sound cruel tonight, but you just pray for me. If you don't straighten up and behave, we're going to trade you next door at the boys' home for one of the good boys and send you over there. We're just trying it, man. We're just trying it. But we're serious. Now, I know, don't criticize me until you put yourself in my place. It's a rough one, but you got to do this sometimes, you know. So trying something, because we can't have you getting up. And over at the boys' home, there's nothing for him to get into. See, our house, there's a lot of stuff for him to get into at night because everything's stored there. So we kept warning him, you won't quit that, you're going to be traded. And, just across the street. "Oh, I promise, I won't do it no more." Well, that went, you know. So my wife, she sometimes makes birthday cakes for the kids, and we had icing come in on our containers, cake ice, you know, the little things, had them up in the storage on the top shelf. She goes down there to get some of those to put on the cake, and you know what? They were empty or almost empty. They were still on the shelf, but they may have a little bit in it or was completely empty. What happened to the icing? Stanley came around, admitted, "I get up and eat the icing sometimes at night." "Stanley, you cannot do that, so you're traded." So we moved him across the street so he can stay out of stuff, because he was not able to control his actions. So about a year went by, and we still see him every day. They still get 3 meals a day, but across the street, let's be honest, is not as nice as where we live. You saw the pictures there. They don't have the big area to play in. In our yard, we got the toys, the trampoline, different things, soccer field. And, it's a little better conditions. So after a year over there, he's thinking, he comes up to Lisa, and he's very lovable. He's like, "Mama," and he's laying it on thick, "I miss you so much." You know, he sees us every day. You know, we're over there in school, and he says hi, and we see him every day. But he misses her so much. He goes, "I just love you so much." She says, "Can't I come back and live at your house?" So she's like, and this was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. So we were getting ready to come to the States at that time for a month. She said, "Stanley, as a matter of fact, I'm leaving for the States on Monday." And this was Saturday afternoon. Now, had he approached her, he goes, "I tell you what, we're going to be gone for 4 weeks. And when we get back, if we've got a good report and you have not been bad at school, the house parents, SIE and Jerita, who's over the boys' home, gives us a good report. The nanny over at the boys' home gives us a good report that you were behaved or at least was pretty good. We'll bring you back over into our house. Oh, Mama, I promise I will not be bad. For the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be a good boy. Okay, Stanley, we'll see. So that was Saturday afternoon. Of course, go to bed, get up, go to church. You're not a lot of time getting in trouble, so everything's going good so far. The Haitian nanny over the boys' home, she comes in to work in the Sunday afternoons there then through Friday. So she gets there sometime mid-afternoon. About an hour later, I see them walking across the road into our yard, Stanley and the nanny. Nanny's coming with him, boy, and he's got his head down. I meet him down there. I said, Stanley, what is the problem? And she goes, I just got to work an hour ago, and in my purse I had cookies. And when I went to do my job, I come back and my cookies were gone. What happened to him, Stanley? Because I ate them. I said, what is that? That's stealing. Why did you eat those cookies? I just had to have them. He said, I saw them in there, and I wanted them so much. He said, I had to have them. So I think about 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. How many times we've seen the Demas attitude? I saw that with Stanley right there. He had the idea in his mind. Oh, I'm going to be good for the next 4 weeks. But something came around that his heart wanted more than what his mind had made up to do. And because he hadn't got it in his heart yet that he was going to be good for the 4 weeks until those cookies come by. And I've seen it time in many lives in Haiti. Friends of mine, some cookies come by and they just run after him. They forsake the Lord, forsake everything they've been brought up to believe and forsake their future. You know, and Stanley, he lost. He's still over at the boys' home. I will say he's doing a lot better. Praise the Lord. He's growing up. Maybe he's outgrowing some of that. Got some. He'll probably make a good pastor preacher someday. Not that your pastor was like that, but I've seen some of them that has been. You know, got a lot of confidence in what Stanley's going to do for the Lord there. But you know, he's still there. You know, his reward would have been able to come back over where it was just a little better. But our reward for not forsaking Jesus is going to be a lot better than what, you know, our house could ever provide. It's going to be heaven. And I pray that the Lord helps me never to forsake him, but always keep him first in my life and not be like Stanley there. So how can we do this? I'll be honest, I can't do it on my own. I got to have some help. And Jesus has promised us some help in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So what we need this morning, this evening, we need that power, right? Amen. I need more of that power. I need more of the Holy Ghost working in my life, the Holy Spirit moving and working. I'll tell you a story. Right now in Haiti, we're dealing with a lot of petty theft. 04, 05, 06 was rough years in Haiti, major crime. That's settled. And now we're dealing with a lot of petty theft. We have thieves that like to kind of come in at night over the wall, even though I have razor wire. I've had that in the last years. Church just this year, we've had somebody try to jump the wall a couple times, have to run them off. But let me, the first time that happened, we moved out to the area. This has been, five or six years ago. The first time it happened, the boys downstairs saw two guys had gotten into our yard in the middle of the night. So they alerted me and said, we got two guys in the yard, two thieves. So, the easiest way to run a thief off is go out on your front porch with your 12-gauge, you go boom, shuck the, and fire it off. My wife's from Oklahoma, so her parents make sure I have stuff like that down in Haiti. I grew up with it, too, so it's kind of one of them background things. So you got to have it in order to be working down there in Haiti. But it's good to, run the thieves off. So you just fire that shot off, and boy, they take off and leave anything they brought behind. I've had screwdrivers, crowbars, hammers left behind that they had brought to bust up stuff. Who knows what they're going to do with it. And they go over a lot faster than they come when they hear that sound go off. And, of course, ran those off again in January. So everybody in the area knows Pastor got big gun. That's what they say. They hear that go off. It wakes them up next morning. Pastor, what happened? Pastor got big gun in there. I say, yeah, Pastor got big gun. So in our area, you have what's called a Kazakh. They're over the area. If you have a need, you call your Kazakh, and he'll alert the police, get the police to come, or the mayor, whatever you need from the government sources. So our Kazakh, his name is Anel. Of course, Anel knows that Pastor has a big gun in there. And we had about a year and a half ago, my wife and I was both woke up in the middle of the night. Shots were going off. There was people shooting over here. People were shooting. It was like they was chasing each other, shooting. It was nothing we had heard in a long time. And it's kind of, that's kind of unnerving, midnight, and you can't go to sleep because there's shooting going around in your neighborhood. You don't know what's happening. I called Anel. I said, Anel, what is happening? I said, I said, a lot of shooting. Boy, I could tell he was nervous. You know, it woke him up. He said, man, there's a lot of shooting out there. I said, is it police chasing somebody? He says, man, there ain't no police around here, which I knew that, you know. Somebody's breaking in your house, you call your Kazakh, and now I got thieves in my yard. He'll alert the police. They might show up 4 or 5 days later, take a report, just the way it works. So you got to run them off, and, you know, so you don't lose all your stuff. So I said, Inell, do you want me to make some noise? And he knew what that meant. He said, yes, please, go out and make some noise. So I went out and made two big noises out in my front yard. And you know, that shooting that had been going around all over us immediately stopped. They figured out whatever he had in there sounded a little bigger than what we got out here. Let's move on down the road. And they moved on down the road. And I thought, you know, that's how we got to be with the devil so many times. When he comes by and he starts making noise in our ears, we got the bigger guns. You know, I'm not being disrespectful. I might as well call myself an Oklahoma guy now because I've been around her family enough. Maybe some of this is rubbed off. Been down in Texas many times too. So hopefully this is not too, is all right around here. But, you know, not trying to be disrespectful, but we have the bigger guns. You know, we got Jesus Christ. We got the Holy Spirit that, you know, is the power that come. But you should receive power. So when the devil comes by, all we got to do is make a little noise back in his ear. Start praising the Lord. Start praying and seeking God. And he moves on down the road because he gets nervous. You know, I've been in my church, and every time we have a demon-possessed person in the service, which happens from time to time, it never fails. That demon will manifest itself during praise and worship. Why? Because the devil can't take it. He cannot take it when we're worshiping the Lord, and he has to cause a scene. So then you got to, in the name of Jesus, stop that so the service can go on. And when you use the name of Jesus, because it is the bigger, you know, power, it stops immediately. And I'm thankful that we have that tonight. So that's what we need when Stanley, the example I used with him tonight, when the devil brings something by to tempt us, we just need to make a little noise back in his ear and say, no, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to live for Jesus. When something tastes like coconut and we say, well, we're going to participate in that, even though it's going to hurt us spiritually, we just say, no, devil, we start praying, seeking the Lord, we're praising God for what he has done, and live right for Jesus. When we hear the preacher preaching something from the Word of God, and we say, that don't make me feel good, I'm not going to receive it. Don't listen to that devil lie to you and say you don't have to receive that. Just start saying and praying in the name of Jesus and believe in the Lord and praying in the Holy Ghost and let him go on down the road so you can receive and get that growth in your life that God is wanting to give you this evening. You know, we got the power, and we need it tonight, church. This world, the devil comes by, discourages us. How many has been discouraged? Got to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost with that power. Show the devil we've got some power that's backing us, because that's what it's going to take to see us through. How many needs some healing tonight? How many needs the Lord to do something? Well, I just want to encourage you tonight. Let's make the bigger noise and praise and worship the Lord. Use the tools that God has given us so we can all make it to heaven this evening. If we could stand, if somebody could come to the instrument, if you'd like. Like I said, I haven't been here in a while. Don't know many of you. If there's somebody here tonight that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, you need that bigger power. You need to quit acting like Stanley E. Ronell and Fritzen and just, you know, running over here and there. But just surrender your life and give your life to Jesus tonight. You say, I can't live for him. No, not on your own. I can't do it in my own either. But then God will come by and help you. And it's not hard at all to live for Jesus Christ. If there's any tonight, the altars are open. Come forward, give your life to Jesus, pray, seek him, and it'll be worth it all. Because, you know, just as Stanley's reward would have been move over back where something's better, we have a greater reward that's waiting for us. And that's eternity with Jesus Christ. If there's any here this evening, come give your life to the Lord. If you're a Christian tonight, you're living for Jesus, let's just lift our hands and make some noise. Is that all right? It's not noise in God's ears. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. But just worship him tonight, because that's what he desires to hear from us. That's what gets the devil nervous and sends him on down the road. Let's worship the Lord and thank him for who he is.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This young man's come over here. Is there anybody else that'd like to come tonight? Say, I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Anybody else tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gather in, church. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's gather in and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Seek the face of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, let's seek his face tonight. Hallelujah. He's been here all day. Let's let him do his work in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.